Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, how did a legendary Boston high school football coach go from conference champion to maximum security prisoner? That's the question explored in a new memoir about Clyde Jack Dempsey, the charismatic line coach of the Don Bosco Bears in 1974. Just a year after starting to coach at the now-closed technical high school, Dempsey led the perennial last-place team to victory in the Catholic Conference Championship. 1974 would be the only year Bosco won the conference. But in a striking turn of events, less than two decades later, Dempsey was convicted of second-degree murder. He would be found out as a Boston mob enforcer, and he was given a life sentence at Cedar Junction, where he died in 2001. Kevin Kelly was a lineman on Dempsey's 1974 team, and he's written about his relationship with Dempsey and Dempsey's fall from grace in his new book titled Both Sides of the Line, My Coach, the Boston Mob Enforcer, My Mentor, the Murderer, The True Story of Clyde Dempsey and the 1974 Don Bosco Bears. Kelly is also the Dean of Students at Deerfield Academy in Western Massachusetts. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So tell us about the first time that you heard of Coach Dempsey, because he was legendary before he ever came to Bosco, according to your book. And how did you hear about him, and what sort of myths surrounded this man?
Well, the first time I heard of Coach Dempsey was in the eighth grade, 1971. My older brother, Tom, was a senior at Don Bosco. And he had come home from a game, and I thought by the way he was sitting on the bed that they had lost, and they had played against St. Columbkills that was out in Brighton, and they actually won the game. But my brother was sitting there somewhat in awe, out of respect, because they only had 14 players on the team, and he said they were the toughest 14 kids they ever played against, and they had a coach, legendary coach over there named Jack Dempsey. And my brother went on to tell me that he was a notorious street fighter, and went on to share a few of those stories. So I was only in the eighth grade and had no idea at that time that eventually he'd become a pivotal person in my life.
A street fighter who at one time bit someone's ear off.
That's correct, yeah.
Those were the stories going on about him.
Yeah, he was a notorious street fighter, had a reputation that even the toughest guys on the street didn't want to fight him.
So all of a sudden, there you are, 1973, and you're told that this notorious street fighter is going to be your new coach.
Well, it was interesting because at that point, I wasn't 100% sure it was the same man. And then when Coach Dempsey came into the room, just by the description for my brother, I had a sense it was him. Very quiet, very assertive, physically 5'7", 210, just a massive presence on a physical level. And later on would become a master mentor, teacher, coach, surrogate father to many of us. And he really will take the program after two consecutive years of being in the cellar of the Catholic Conference. And him and Coach Currier, who was the legendary head coach at Don Bosco, will take the program, and we'll have the Cinderella season my senior year.
Right. So tell me what he was like as a coach. You said he was a mentor, a father figure to many people. Tough, I would assume.
Very tough. But as a football coach, he was a master teacher of technique. His holy trinity was quickness, technique, and desire. That size meant absolutely nothing. He was a master teacher.
Well, at 5'7", maybe he had to think that, right?
He was a two-time All-American that came out of Boston English, and that's exactly what happened. His career was all built on his football intelligence. Mm. And so, he's more than just a regular football coach to us, as I mentioned before. He really gives us a roadmap for me personally, but for many of my teammates. He gave me a roadmap on not only how to be an athlete on the football field, but how to lead my life, becoming a young boy to becoming a young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't seem to take those lessons to heart personally, obviously. If he was, or what was going on there?
I would tell you that coach lived in two worlds, and I believe in my heart that the Coach Dempsey that I had a relationship with believed in everything that he was preaching to his kids, and that in one avenue of his life, he indeed lived that life. And on the flip side, he had this, the opposite end of the spectrum, if I may, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde right. complex, where he was equally as good in the bad world as well. He was tough, a collector for the mob, and then later on he'll commit this murder.
Right. He was as you said, he did collect debts for the mob, apparently, which he admitted to you, as you recount in one part of the book. But he also was convicted of a murder that no one seemed to really be able to make sense of in a crowded nightclub in Boston at one point.
Right. In 1981, 6 years after I graduated, he's in a nightclub in Boston, has an issue with a young man. He'll pull out a gun and he'll shoot that young boy who was at the age of 24 at the time, and then he'll go up to Canada.
And he hid for 9 years, right?
Hid for 9 years, 10 years, something along those lines. And he will go into a cemetery and he'll steal the identification of a baby out of a cemetery, which allowed him to get a new birth certificate, which allowed him to get a driver's license, which allowed him to be employed. And he'll reinvent himself as Ronald Mayor. And it will all come to an end for him as he was, in 1990, the featured criminal on America's Most Wanted.
And that's how he was caught.
Yes, eventually. Yeah.
When he was on America's Most Wanted. But I just wonder, I mean, he obviously had a very dark, dark side, which, you know, you sort of knew about from these stories about mm-hmm. him being a legendary street fighter. But this sort of went further, I guess, for, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to explain it. How is it possible? Is it possible for someone to live two very different lives like that? Or were there times when you definitely saw that really dark person who was mentoring all of these young men?
Well, it's a great question. I think if we look at us, you know, as a species, and you take a look at issues with the Catholic Church, with the priests, if you take a look at politicians, there's a lot of people who show one side of themselves, and there's something else going on inside them. I had heard plenty of what Coach had been doing, but I had never seen it. I was fortunate enough to play for the Hyde Park Cowboys, which was a semi-pro team in the Eastern League. We were teammates in 1976. I had seen a lot of cocaine. I had seen a lot of alcohol and drinking, you know, throughout, you know, either the nightclubs and those type of things or the gatherings afterwards. And I never once did I see Dempsey out of control. But it was understood that, you know, his cocaine use was increasing, and that whether that particular night, he was drunken with cocaine. Would he have done the same thing if he was sober? He certainly didn't need a gun to settle an issue between another person. So that's the magic question. We'll never know for sure exactly why an issue that went between him and another kid that wasn't really that hot of an issue went from 0 to 100.
Just lastly, you talk about a list of issues that he had, legal issues and others. And at one point, you did a practice drill that actually resulted in a fellow team member being paralyzed for the rest of his life. These are things that would be unheard of today,
right?
Which I think is good in some aspects, but I wonder if there's anything negative about that. Is there something lost in the way that, in the freedom that coaches are allowed now, in the way that things are done?
Great question. Yeah, I think, as we say, the old school, you know, coaches had a wide range of power. Mm-hmm. And I still think, in of all sports, football, that probably still exists, especially if you look at Division I coaching. But yes, in that particular time, it was a tragedy. It was a tragic mistake. It tore away at the coaches. The one thing I do mention in the book, during that time, there was absolutely no counseling. There was no help for anyone.
Right.
No one came to the team. There was no counselor. There was no priest. We went to an all-boys Catholic school. No one spoke to the team. No one spoke to the boy who delivered the hit, and it was a punishment drill. And years later, as I interview my teammates, that was the number one memory that came up within about 30 or 40 seconds of all the interviews.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. Kevin Kelly is the Dean of Students at Deerfield Academy. His new book is titled Both Sides of the Line, My Coach, the Boston Mob Enforcer, My Mentor, the Murderer, the True Story of Clyde Dempsey and the 1974 Don Bosco Bears. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.